Well, this morning we are looking at the Apostle Paul. And before he became Paul, he was a guy by the name of Saul. And Saul was a very highly educated Pharisee. And he went out and persecuted Christians. And he thought that was right. The first time we read of Saul is that he is present when Stephen, the very first Christian martyr, is killed. And Saul seemed to be fueled by this red-hot fury to eradicate the early church. And so in our scripture today, Saul has expanded his search and is heading about 140 miles north to a city called Damascus. Damascus was a popular trade city, and so Saul was heading there wanting to wipe out the Christians in that city to keep the gospel of Jesus Christ from spreading any further. And so our scripture text today will be talking about what happens to this guy by the name of Saul. Here's the story is recorded for us in the book of Acts. So as Paul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." The men traveling there with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So a couple things here I think it's important for us to notice. First of all, Saul at this point was not seeking salvation. In fact, just the opposite is true. Saul was seeking to destroy those who proclaimed salvation by grace apart from the law. So Saul was not seeking salvation. However, God was seeking Saul. God is the initiator. God's the initiator in this drama with Saul, and God's the initiator in our lives as well. Secondly, Saul was confronted by his sin. You know, Paul's story is told a couple more times in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 22 and 26. In Acts 26, we read that a bright light came and it drove them all to the ground, and the voice that spoke to Paul was an Aramaic and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." That's the NIV. Now, goad is simply a pointed stick. And it's a pointed stick used to kind of get the animal moving. You know, that's what it's for. You got that slow-moving animal. You got that slow-moving husband in the morning, wives. You know, you stick them a little bit. And they're sorry, right? They get stuck and they're, ooh, and they get moving a little bit faster. Now, kicking against the goad didn't hurt anybody except the one who was doing the kicking. And so Saul here is resisting the Lord. He's attacking the people. He's attacking God's people. But the only person he was truly hurting was himself. Now, Saul's really being confronted with his own obstinacy. And can you imagine what it must have been like for Paul to have been persecuting the Lord? Saul, this righteous Pharisee, this fervent Pharisee, was not serving God but attacking him. Can only imagine what must have gone through his mind when he came to that revelation. Saul needed to see his sinfulness. He needed to see his sin nature. He needed to realize the horror of his actions before he could ever hear the gospel. I believe this is true for every believer, that there must be an awareness of sin before there can ever be an openness to our need for a Savior. And we don't like to talk about sin, but we must. And everybody sins. There's not a single person in this room who doesn't sin, from our youngest member to our oldest member. We are all sinners in need of God's mercy. And we have to see that we have not met up to God's standards, and we need help. And help is only found in Jesus. Now, thirdly, in this passage of Scripture, God uses an ordinary man as his messenger. Now, we haven't read the passage, we haven't read that Scripture yet, but there's a man by the name of Ananias. And Ananias, this is the only time that we read of him in the Bible. May have been a well-known believer, maybe he wasn't, I don't know. I love to think of Ananias as just being some ordinary man of God who happened to be there when God came a-calling. I mean, talk about faith. Now, Ananias receives this vision from the Lord, and so I'll be reading this through the unauthorized Kindle version, just to kind of give it some flavor. So Ananias is just hanging out one day, and all of a sudden there's this voice, "Ananias, I've got a job for you to do. You name it, Lord, I'll be happy to obey. I want you to go visit someone out over on Straight Street." "I'm right on it, Lord." And you see him, he starts putting on his sandals, he's lacing them up. And God continues, "And I want you to go and visit a man from Tarsus named Saul." And then there's this long pause. Ananias said, "Excuse me, God? A man from Tarsus named Saul? Yes, that's who I want you to go see." "The Saul? The guy, God, this guy doesn't have a very good reputation. Isn't that the guy going around killing Christians?" "Yeah, that's the guy I want you to go see." The end. No. And to his credit, Ananias went to Straight Street where he met Saul. This guy who had this incredible reputation already as someone who was persecuting the early church. And he addresses them as Brother Saul. Ananias believed that God could change even someone like Saul. Ananias explained the gospel to Saul, and Saul was baptized as a new believer, and his eyesight was restored, and he gained a new passion for life. The text continues here. This is in the Bible, not Chris's version. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he went out to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And all of them who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call upon the name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. And we're told that as soon as his eyes are open, he goes out and begins to preach the good news in the synagogues. And here was this zealous Pharisee wanting to rid the world of Jesus followers. And how shocking it must have been to hear his testimony that Jesus really is this long-awaited Messiah. As a result of hearing this call, Saul gave up his power and his prestige and his influence. He gave up his position as someone who could make a handsome living teaching the Jewish law. He was no longer welcomed by those who used to admire him and who would call him friend. He gave up his comforts and his security. Saul was chased and persecuted wherever he went. Now, church, Jesus is in the change business. Now, those who turn to Christ are changed because they have a new heart. They see things differently. Their standards for behavior is different. And they seek God's glory rather than their own. I mean, simply put, the unchanged Christian is a contradiction in terms. If we have truly had an experience with Jesus, we are changed. It may happen smallly, slowly, but I'll guarantee you we will be changed. The conversion of the Apostle Paul is really one of the greatest stories in Christian history. And from his story, there are some important lessons for us to hear. First of all, God is the pursuer, not the pursued. You know, oftentimes in our world, we will paint a very different picture. We want to indicate that we are a people seeking out God, but we can't find him. Because God's really good at hiding. In truth, the non-believer is not seeking God. God is seeking them. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save those who are lost." God is always the initiator in this relationship. It is the Lord who has put people in your way, in your path, to preach and proclaim the gospel. It is God who is pulling at your heart and captivating your mind. You do not seek him, he seeks you. He's chasing after you because he loves you. I mean, Paul himself told us in Romans chapter 5, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, right, when we had no interest in God, Christ died for us. The good news is that God is reaching out to you, to me, to all of us, to this world. He has made the first move. He's extended the invitation. And it's up to us to receive that or not. God is not turned away from you. He is turned to you. And if you want to have eternal life as a member of God's family, you've got to stop running and receive the forgiveness and love and new life that he longs to give you. Of all the people who should have seemed hopeless, Saul would have led the list. In fact, history is filled with people who are hopelessly lost, who seem to be hopelessly lost, who are then transformed by the power of Jesus, by God's grace. I mean, we sing a song, Amazing Grace. We should have sung that song, Amazing Grace, this morning, as I'm thinking now. John Newton, dude was a slave trader. He sold human flesh for profit. And he wrote a song that we continue to sing in church today. Can we change that song now? We'll sing Amazing Grace. All right, we're going to have to look that up in the hymnal. It won't be on the screens, but we're going to sing Amazing Grace this morning. Many of the people we call saints today were once people who, with the first name of Saul, who lived life very far apart from God. Don't give up praying for your lost family members and your friends. Continue to look for those opportunities to share the message of salvation with them. Because if God can change Saul, he can change anyone. You know, I think we need to give thought to our own story. Where are you in your relationship with God? Are you living your life indifferent to the things of God? Is your walk with God superficial? Perhaps like Saul, you're very zealous about serving the church, but you've never addressed the issue of your own heart and your own soul. Maybe you've reached a point where you are ready to stop running and to take a good look in the mirror. Maybe you see a spiritual void in your own life. You know, how long did it take for Saul to really understand that forgiveness was possible? I wonder how many times Ananias had to tell Saul, "Saul, you are loved by God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Saul, this gift of salvation is a gift. It's not something we earn or deserve." We don't know how many times it took, but it took. And Saul was made new. And perhaps the whole idea seems incredible to you as well, that in your life you recognize that you have made mistakes, that you have done bad things, horrible things. Perhaps you've left a trail of broken promises and ruined lives and blown opportunities behind you. Even so, God is offering you a new beginning. And Jesus paid for your past when he died on the cross. His blood was shed for your sin. Church, the Bible is very clear about this, is that if you will trust in him, if you will put your confidence in his work on the cross, if you will allow him to lead your life into the present, you too can be made new. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means that you're walking with God rather than running away from God. Now, if you've never made that commitment to Christ in your life, I want to encourage you to do that today. As an act of honest faith, turn to the Lord and just say something like this. It doesn't have to be these words, but this is the sentiment that it should reveal. Lord Jesus, I have run from you. I've ignored your love and I have spurned your commands. I have been trusting in my own goodness rather than in your grace. Today I turn to you. I put my confidence in what you did for me. Please change my heart. Cleanse me from this wicked rebellion in me that runs so deep. Put your spirit within me and make me new. Help me follow you all the days of my life so that I, like Paul, might become one of your followers. Begin your work in me. You know, if in your heart you pray a prayer like this, you too will have eternal life. The Bible tells us that whosoever believes has eternal life. And so when you turn to Jesus and believe, you are given a new life and will be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "I have been crucified with Christ, so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Take the opportunity. Realize that you have been chosen. God's simply waiting for you to respond. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for your presence here with us. And God, we are grateful for stories of truth. People, Lord, who lived horrible lives, sinful lives, fallen lives. Someone who should have known better, but still acted horribly. And yet, God, your love was fully upon him. You loved Paul, and you wanted Paul. God, we pray that we would understand the same, that we are not perfect. We have made mistakes. We too have fallen short. But we are loved by God, and we are wanted by God. And God is chasing after us. Lord, give us the courage to stop running and to turn to you. Understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. Jesus, we pray this in your precious name. Amen.